I'm Brad Hillwig, and this is Normalish. On Tuesday, March 10th, I texted my parents a photo of me and my wife, Victoria, from a beach in Hawaii, a place a lot of us Alaskans go when it's cold at home. The caption, we have Kona virus, as in the town of Kona, not coronavirus. I was making a joke, which turned out to be pretty inappropriate, but I thought my parents, and everyone else for that matter, were a little too worried over this coronavirus thing. 2 days after that, major sports leagues began shutting down. 2 days after that, we boarded a plane home to Alaska with a lot of nervous travelers. I can't help but think now that this is the thing that will define a generation. One day we'll talk about what it was like to live during the COVID-19 pandemic, how we self-isolated, how restaurants shut down and people lost their jobs, how too many families suffered losses, how the idea of a crowd created anxiety instead of joy, how the entire world was in it at the same time, and no one knew what would happen next. Never in my most far-fetched dream did I think I would one day make a podcast about a global pandemic. But here we are. As we distance ourselves, I've been finding myself just wanting to hear from people, see how they're holding up. And I wanted to try to capture this moment in time as we all learn how to live in a world that's fighting a deadly virus. So I decided to just start calling people. What I heard actually really surprised me.
Hello? Sorry.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you.
So how's it going?
Good. Just running errands.
That's Todd, a longtime friend who's just moved back to Anchorage, Alaska, where he watches after his parents, both with health issues.
Yeah, it's a crazy time for sure. Well, Wendy asked me today, she's like, are you even scared about this? You don't seem to be doing anything different. And I said, well, it's very challenging for me because my parents can't get out. They need their medications. So, you know, I said I sanitize and I stay away from people. But, I mean, I don't have the ability to just sit in the house all day. Like when I go and buy stuff for them, like specific food that they only dad eats. I use the self-checkout and sanitize right after I'm done, before and after, actually. So,
how old are your parents? Are they in their 70s?
Yes.
Mine too.
Well, then I thought, man, is it even good for me to be running like out in the public? And let's say I did get it on my hand or something, and then I transmitted it to them. You know, because they can stay quarantined, but, you know, the pill thing is an issue.
Mm.
They've tried the online prescription stuff, and it just never seems to work, I guess. And so now it's at Fred Meyer. And it's funny because when I went to Fred Meyer today to pick up their prescription, they had a huge bottle of sanitizer, and written on the side was not for sale.
Oh, because, yeah, people probably try to buy it or steal it.
She told me, I said, man, that's really funny. She's like, yeah, the last one was half gone. People were, like, offering to buy it.
Wow.
I was like,
at the time of this recording, the United States has surged past 100,000 cases of COVID-19, the most of any country in the world. Alaska now has more than 100 cases. School systems are shut down. All non-essential businesses, like restaurants, movie theaters, and gyms are closed. Officials have issued what they're calling a hunker down order. That goes through mid-April, a time when Alaskans are normally pretty anxious to get out after a long winter.
I was following this when I first saw a smattering of it in December. So don't confuse pragmatism with panic. I just want to pay attention to make sure that we're doing the right things here and paying attention to this. And then it starts mushrooming over there. And you just know inevitably the world is connected by planes and trains, boats and automobiles.
A few years back, Rick Boots slipped on a patch of ice and suffered a traumatic brain injury. He nearly died. And you could say now that he's one of those medical miracles you hear about. Still, it's been a long road to recovery. And now he's dealing with respiratory and pulmonary health issues. Because of that, he's considered high risk for COVID-19. One reason why he's been tracking it so closely.
We got supplies and stuff ready in early January. Then, because of my pulmonary condition, I was paying attention not to news sites as much as scientific sites.
Okay.
And the CDC on March 7th said, right, you know, I screen captured it, for those 60 and above or high-risk people who have heart, lung, diabetes issues, stay home. Mm. That was on March 7th.
Wow.
It's an interesting turn of events because I've never been in that. I've never been in that world of at risk, you know, since things have changed with this injury. And so it just makes you adapt differently. And you know, I want to make sure that my kid is safe and my wife is safe we get through it all. And our family is doing fantastic. We've got a lot of love and care for each other, and we stay connected. Jack is 12 years old. He's doing some pretty remarkable things. He's playing piano. He's reading. He's connecting using Zoom with his classmates and friends so that he can see faces that he can't get close to. Mm. And I think it's overall concerning, certainly. The silver lining is, slow your life down and connect with people again. And it's distant, it's social distance, but it's a chance to dial in and talk with people.
Can you hear me there?
I do. I'm sitting in my car, pulled off to the side right now. So,
oh, okay.
Pardon me if you hear a little panting. That's not me. That's a couple of my dogs sitting behind me in the car.
David Jensen is a professional photographer in Alaska. His passion? Pets and their people. In fact, he might be one of the world's first full-time petographers.
1989, I opened up Alaska Petography, and eventually I branded out beyond just pets and relabeled my business David Jensen Photography, but I still have a fond following of the petography part of things too.
Growing up in Alaska, David experienced a very different type of emergency, something he's been thinking a lot about lately.
I was alive when the 1964 Great Alaska Quake happened, and I remember it vividly. I was almost 7 years old at the time, and I remember some very specific things, you know, the big cracks in the floor and in the pavement and buildings that were sunken down. And I remember seeing people helping each other and out and about and becoming almost a new united community. And people aren't able to do that right now. We're supposed to be isolated and sequestered, quarantined, and not leave our homes. And that's very justified so that we can protect our neighbors and our friends and our community from the spread of this virus. And I thought, well, it's really tough because we can't show everyone that we're all together in this thing together. And so as I'm hiking, I thought, how can I incorporate my photography, the talent that I have, as something that can contribute? Because in 64, people were lending wheelbarrows, lending water, helping people get out of their houses and things like that. And that was the bond, I guess, that really brought people together.
In other words, how do we help one another? How do we build community when the safest thing to do is to avoid people, to stay home, and binge watch television? Here's David's answer to that question.
And that's to visit homes for those who have signed up and ask me to come out to their home and ask people to stand on their porch with their dogs, preferably, but not always, some cats too, and let me observe a nice, safe quarantine distance of 20, 25, 30 feet away, put on my long lens, and I'll snap a picture. And the whole thing is done within 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm on my way to the next house. And yesterday, I guess I completed 10 of those. Today, I'm about halfway through. In all, I have 30 something families signed up for this, and we'll keep, I guess, going from house to house on the list until I'm all wrapped up.
A family portrait on the front porch. A moment of joy in the middle of a pandemic.
But what I've noticed and what people have commented about is it shows a unity that we're all going through this together. We're respecting each other and everybody's health needs. We're smiling. There's a whole new strength. And when I go to see people at their homes on a Tuesday morning, for example, the whole family's there. And I'm struck by that this is actually a lemonade out of the whole situation, because people are spending a lot more time, for better or worse, with each other in their own homes.
David's not charging anything for his services, just trying to create a connection with people from a safe distance one house at a time.
It's all free and on good faith that when I visit a home, somebody will make a donation to a charity. What I imagine if a seven-year-old today comes away from this 40 or 50 years from now, one of the things that's going to be most poignant in the memory is empty shelves. And then the quarantine and the self-isolation. And I think they will remember this. So I do want people to have a positive memory from what happened in 2020.
When I picked up Macy yesterday, it was the first time she'd been out of the house. And it was like, she was so excited just to drive down the road.
Hmm.
And she said, man, I love this. I get to see things besides the house. People don't know, like, what to think or what to do, you know? And I think that's why people get in their cars and they're like, okay, well, I guess this is all I can do. Life is so disrupted because we're so used to, oh, go out to eat, go do this, go do that, go to a movie. All of these accessories to our lives are taken away. It's simplifying everything.
Well, last night we went on a drive just to get out and see what's going on in town. It's a quiet, dusty, distant town right now with not a lot of people out. And, you know, but some of the people who are out are huddling up together, and you just want to say, you know, step back a few feet.
Hi, my name is Tatiana. I live in Sykesville, Maryland. My daughter had to get picked up from D.C., where she was going to college, and brought home, and she started classes online this week. My husband works 1 week and is on admin the next week because he works for the government, and that's how they figured this out. I work for a law firm, and unfortunately, with this going on in our Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, we have non-essential personnel that need to hunker down. The law firms are not our essential personnel because we have to deal with courts. So I go into work, and for the past 2 weeks, I've been going into work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and home Thursday, Friday with no pay. So it's kind of a little bit of an impact.
A while back, I set up a Google Voice mailbox so people could call and tell me how they're doing. Quick plug, that number is 605-620-1811, and you can call anytime. Tatiana was one of the first to call. She used to live in Alaska. Now she's on the East Coast.
But otherwise, our life is weird, and thank God I went to Costco in February and got my essentials, because now there's no toilet paper or paper towels, Lysol, or wipes, Clorox wipes, anywhere in the area. I practice social distancing and try to stay safe. We have disinfected the whole house and cleaned the house, and no visitors. So that's kind of a little lonely, but we stay in touch on the telephone and on FaceTime. This isn't normal, but I've made more donations in the last week than I have in a very long time. Because when I went to the establishments that I really like, and they're small, they're not very big establishments, I pick up my food and I buy gift cards so that way they can keep their business afloat. I donated today, actually, went out to Walmart and picked up $200 worth of dog and, yes, cat food. I don't even have a cat, and I bought cat food. To the shelter where we adopted my dog 2 years ago, Baltimore Humane Society, and donated all this food because people can't afford to feed their pets, so they are relinquishing them at the shelters. So the shelters now got together and said, no, we're going to do a 30-day food supply for animals so that way they don't relinquish their pets. Now, all the restaurants are closed except for takeaway restaurants, and some of them are really suffering in the area, unfortunately. So I'm trying to keep the small ones open by buying food. We're still getting takeout and making sure that these establishments still stay together until this all blows over, which we have no idea when it is. Hopefully this will pick up and this will get to the highest point and then end soon.
Is now a good time? You got your sessions done?
Absolutely. The morning is wrapped up.
In January of 2013, Derek Ford started Run Wild Fitness in Anchorage.
It's an amazing community, and it's a safe space where there's no judgment. There is no expectation other than you just show up and do the best you can.
it's not a one-size-fits-all gym. It's a place for personalized fitness. In the last 7 years, it's grown into a loyal community of people.
I wanted the safe space where people could come who are like me, who just are average everyday people, and they feel like they have a space where they can relate to everybody else that's here and have a comfortable place where we are part of something bigger than ourselves. We come and we get healthier, we get stronger, but we do it at our own pace.
By mid-March, all restaurants, bars, gyms, and entertainment facilities in the municipality of Anchorage were ordered to close their doors to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Like a lot of small businesses, Run Wild Fitness had to figure out a plan B pretty quickly.
Now we had about 3 days. We've got to get everybody on some type of online programming. We need to figure out how to do some interactive online coaching. And it needs to happen now. I had a couple clients text me, been like, are you seriously closed? This was the last thing that I had to hold on to. And it was just like, let me figure it. Don't go that way. Let me figure this out. You're not losing this. We're just going to figure out a way to do it differently.
With the physical location of the gym closed, Derek says they've started doing online training sessions using video conferencing. But more importantly, they've turned to Alaska's great outdoors.
I'm taking groups outside and while we're maintaining our good social distancing and we're not high-fiving and we're certainly not touching, it's like we get to go out and these clients are getting to experience Alaska like they've never experienced before.
And right now, in the middle of a global pandemic, it's about a lot more than a workout.
This is what people need more than anything is community, knowing that they're not alone, and physical activity. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, there's science. There's no arguing that exercise and physical activity, it not only improves your mental state, but it also improves your immunity. We still have to stay strong through this, and we owe it to those people who aren't able to stay strong, and those, our grandpas and our grandmas and our parents who are elderly or who may be at high risk. We owe it to them to stay strong and to be our best selves so that if they do need our help, that we are there and we're strong. And that if you're going to get it, you need to be in the best shape physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually possible. That if it does happen to you, you can battle it, you can fight it, and you move on.
So far, no one's canceling memberships at Run Wild Fitness.
While it is a little bit scary and unknown, I am not fearful. I'm hopeful. And like I said, the thing I need to do, and I'm preaching to all my clients, is we need to stay strong and positive, because there are some of those who, are going to be way worse off than we are, and we're going to be the ones who need to be there for them.
Hi.
Hey, are you there?
Going?
No, yeah. Okay. It's going on.
Just north of Seattle, one of the early epicenters of the U.S. COVID-19 pandemic, is Bellingham, Washington, home to my parents.
We have never experienced anything like this in our lifetime. It's just unprecedented.
By the time I started paying attention to this virus, they'd already been tracking it for weeks, both in their 70s. They're considered high risk for COVID-19.
Because you can be contagious before you even know you have it.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, one of the worst parts. It's really weird because Dad and I don't do a lot, but we feel like, wow, we're housebound.
It's different. It's different when you can't do a lot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did think about that. I mean, you guys have been training for this a little bit with being, So that's good.
That's so cute the way you said that, but it's true. When we went to Costco, man, Dad and I had gloves on, and I had a list, and we shopped so fast, and we checked ourselves out, and it was really...
We were out of there pretty fast.
You get weird, because I don't want to die.
Yeah.
By a damn virus, I would be...
Yeah, I'd be really pissed off if I died from this.
Yeah, but I mean, seriously, I don't want to get sick.
Late in the year 2019, The coronavirus that would become COVID-19 began in a far-off place. And at first, it seemed like an impossibility. Suddenly, it's changing the entire world.
There's an old saying about the pond in your yard with lily pads. Are you familiar?
No.
So the story goes that, so you have a pond in your yard and you put a lily pad in there. Every day, it doubles. Day two, you have two lily pads. Day three, you have four and eight and 16, 32, 64. 128, 256, 512, so on, right? It's on day 48 that the pond is full. So the question is, on what day is it half full? Well, my son instantly said day 47 because it doubles every day. I said, that's right. On day 40, you can't hardly see them, but it's full. It's got tons of lily pads and you just can't see them. It doubles every day. On day 40, you still can't see many of them. But they're there, and that's the situation mathematically with virus if you don't practice social distancing. So I just kind of go out into the world with that knowledge. When I was at Costco, I was looking at all those lily pads walking around the store and sort of calculating that X percent of them probably have the infection and don't know it.
This virus, this pandemic, it becomes more real when it impacts those close to you. And truthfully, we're all connected to someone who's at risk.
Hello?
Remember that Google Voice line I told you about? There's one more message on there I need to share with you.
And I'm calling to let you know how I'm dealing with my social distancing. So far, I'm on day 9 of quarantine after coming back from Hawaii. I'm an introvert by nature, but it's nice to be social every now and then and see some friends. So it might be a little difficult in the next few days, especially living with my husband. He can be a challenge at times. I pretty much shop with the elders, which is totally fine with me. I shop at some Tuesday or Thursdays from 7 to 9 in the morning. That's okay as long as they're far away from me and nobody's coughing or sneezing anywhere near me. Maybe I'll call back later and talk to you about how I'm pregnant and, you know, that provides a new level of anxiety with this pandemic going on. Okay, have a nice day. Bye.
This is Victoria. As of right now, she's 29 weeks pregnant. And that husband she's talking about, that difficult one? Yeah, that's me. I wanted to make a podcast about the ways people are adapting to life in the face of a global pandemic. And I realized one of those stories was happening in my own home. How do you safely bring a baby into the world in the middle of a public health emergency? Over the next 8 weeks, Victoria and I are going to have to find out. And even something as simple as a doctor's appointment has gotten a lot more complicated.
There were nurses and doctors there at the front door waiting for people. And there was about 3 or 4 people in front of me. And we were all required to get our temperatures checked.
At the front door or in the parking garage?
At the front door of the parking garage.
The hospital is restricting access to limit the number of people there. So Victoria went by herself.
They had signs on the doors that said, if you're not feeling well, you should be quarantined and wear a mask.
Did you take the elevator?
I did take the elevator. There's an elevator because I got to go to the 4th floor.
And was there anybody else in there?
Luckily, there was no one else. I did see people go up, and I waited to be by myself. I think if we were in normal times, a birthing plan would be completely fine, and you'd have a plan for whatever could go wrong. But in these times, it's we're not in normal times, so a birthing plan is just not... It doesn't seem possible to me. So I'm just kind of going with the flow, and... realizing, you know, you just gotta let it go. Like, your body's gonna do what it's gonna do, and the doctor's gonna know how to take care of you and the baby, and yeah, and you just cross your fingers that, I mean, you're in a sterile room, and
yeah, that everybody in that room is
healthy.
Next time on Normalish, we venture out.
Okay. It's our first attempt to get takeout food. I'll be right back.
Come on in. Station 9's going to be around the corner. They'll walk you through the process.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And hopefully more of your stories. Also, I want to say, this is the very first episode of the Normalish podcast. Quite honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect. I want to give a big thank you to everyone who shared their story. Hearing from you and talking with you in the last couple of weeks has been incredibly uplifting, so thank you for that. I'll keep making episodes as long as folks share stories. If you want to participate, call 605-620-1811 and tell me your story. It goes straight to voicemail, so just leave me a message and tell me your story. If you want me to call you back, just leave me your number and let me know. I'm hoping these stories will make us all feel a bit more connected during this time of uncertainty and isolation. Take care, everyone.